We're back with another episode of the Shamo Hoops podcast. It has been a few months since we've last had one, but with the start of the new year and the college hoops regular season and conference season in mid-swing, decided to have a regular visitor back on, Michael Weisenberg, and looking forward to chatting with Michael, as well as having this on a weekly basis going forward and chatting college hoops, high school hoops, and going through March. So, Michael, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Sean. Great to have you back. And I hope that your honeymoon went incredibly well, sir.
It did. Even got to see some basketball out there. Andrew Bogut, Brian Bowen, David Ware. So it was a good time. I was able to follow the college hoop scene. Didn't get to watch too many games, but have been able to definitely pick it back up over the last few weeks in conference play. And to, I guess, my surprise, well, one of the teams, maybe not the other team, but we have really two undefeated teams left in Michigan and Virginia. And I'm curious about your thoughts on both of those teams and who you like between them to kind of, one, stay undefeated, and two, do something in the tournament this year.
Well, it's hard not to like either of those teams because they're incredibly well coached, and Virginia looked like the best team in the NCAA last year for a majority of the season. And I'm guessing they were pretty much the college basketball nerd's favorite to win the NCAA championship before they were unceremoniously knocked off by UMBC. Right. But yeah, they've been looking great this year as well. Yeah, just need to go through the schedule. The Duke game certainly looked like a possibility for them to catch an L, but I think the injury to Tyus Jones definitely seems to make Duke the underdog in that one. Michigan seemed like a team that would probably fall down a few notches after losing Moritz Wagner and, they brought in Iggy Brazdeikis. And he has been an excellent addition. And a few other guys have stepped it up. A lot of people point to the defense of a guy like Charles Matthews, who is, I think, finally a senior. And they have Xavier Simpson, John Teske, Jordan Poole has been shooting absolutely out of his mind. And a guy like Isaiah Livers has also played his bench role like pretty much as well as he possibly could. I feel like on a depth scale, I might like Michigan in the game, but it's really hard to count out Virginia too. I probably would lean towards Michigan. And I feel like the Big Ten may be a little bit weaker. So that is probably who I would pick to maybe stay undefeated a bit longer and win in the game of Michigan versus Virginia. But do you have any thoughts on that?
So I think Virginia, they could easily lose at Cameron, even without Jones in the lineup, even though without him, Duke is definitely not the same team, despite having three of the potential top four or five NBA draft picks. But I really like the UVA team, as much as that pains me to say. I think in years past, I've definitely thought they've been good and that they would run through the ACC, but more just due to how good of a coach Tony Bennett is, rather than the players on their team. Last year, they went 17-1 in the ACC and then got, smoked, obviously without DeAndre Hunter, but smoked in the first round. And I think really over the last, 3-4 years, Tony Bennett has them, if they're a one seed in the tournament, I think talent-wise and skill level, they're probably a 3 or 4 seed. When they're a 5 seed and didn't break 40 points against Florida, I think they're more like a 7-8 seed. So to his credit, he always has them playing above, maybe what they, with any other coach, would be seeded. But I think this year, I think they're a legit one seed with or without Tony. When you have kind of the best college lineup of kind of Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy in the backcourt. What a great recruiting pull having those two guys over the last 3 years. And then DeAndre Hunter, and I really think, you know, Braxton Key has been a big addition, as well as Clark, the freshman from California. And
yeah,
you know, they're going to play good D. So I, you know, in terms of them, I think going all the way, I think they have a great shot, and I could see it being, you know, similar to Villanova, where everybody counts out Jay Wright and Villanova just because of their early flameouts. And then all of a sudden, here they are in a championship game. Michigan, I'm not a fan. I see them getting knocked out in probably the second round of the NCAA tournament. They obviously smoked my Tar Heels earlier in the year at home, but I think they're similar to how UVA has been in the past. So they'll be a one seed, but I think talent wise and skill level, probably more of a, maybe, you know, 3 to 4 seed. And I don't know. I Jordan, as you said, Jordan Poole's been shooting the lights out, and Livers has been coming off the bench. Matthews is the leader, and Rozdikas has been, you know, one of the top freshmen, but don't love the talent, and the Big Ten is pretty weak, so they'll march through it. But I'm going with a second round upset to a 8-9 seed come tournament time.
Got you. Well, I feel like what you're saying about Tony Bennett, you could probably say John Beilein is like the Big Ten version of that. Because I felt like, you know, Michigan last year making the NCAA tournament finals was very surprising to me. And it just seems like he takes whatever level of talent. Like, you definitely didn't see Michigan going this far and being undefeated. And the fact that they're sticking and playing together. So I could see him possibly taking them a bit further as well. And their defense has been like Virginia level. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, I think it would be a good matchup. But I like the bold prediction of a second round knockout.
Their defense has been, usually you think of Michigan, you think of John Beilein, everybody says he's a great coach, great offensive mind, and they're a lot of fun to watch on the offensive end, just with their ball movement, pick and roll action, but it's always been their defense that they always rank in the, you know, sub 50s, and I think in large part due to adding one of their assistant coaches last year they're a top five defense. This year they're a top five defense, so they kind of have the full package. So yeah, they could definitely make another championship Final Four run, but you know, I'm not a believer in Michigan this year, so we'll see how that works. But you mentioned that the Duke UVA game this weekend, and that would have been, it is a marquee matchup, but you know, with Duke losing this week at home to Syracuse, as well as not having Jones in the lineup on Saturday, what are you kind of expecting in that game, and what are you kind of looking for as well?
I'm expecting three guys to have a ridiculous usage in that game. I'm expecting Virginia to probably give them a lot of shots, and to just try and maybe stop Zion Williamson from scoring inside. And I'm really interested to see who kind of runs Duke's offense, because we saw RJ Barrett do it, and he, I think for the most part, did it pretty admirably, but at the same time just took a ridiculous percentage of Duke's field goal attempts as well. And you know, a number of open threes, but took some absolute bad shots against Syracuse's zone, which
was a nice 8 for 30.
8 for 30, yeah. That is 26.7%. And it's not great. And if they would have won, I think people would have been very surprised with Barrett shooting 8 for 30. And Zion Williamson going 12 for 20 and, you know, with his usual efficiency. I think, you know, you might have wanted Zion to go a little more in the high post against that Syracuse zone. But, yeah, and then the other surprising thing was Jack White, who has, again, like Isaiah Livers with Michigan, White has pretty much played his role perfectly. but thrust into the starting role, I think you saw the value of like a Cam Reddish who could maybe do a little more than shoot the corner three. And yeah, Jack White went 0 for 10 in that game.
That'll bring the percentage down.
I don't expect Duke to necessarily shoot that poorly, but I think it could be an issue. And they're going to need a lot from Cam Reddish. Like, that's going to be a guy who I think could possibly have a big game. Might get matched up quite a bit with a guy like, DeAndre Hunter or Braxton Key. So, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting to see how they play with those three guys being a majority of their offense. Like, I'm expecting them to probably get, 80% of their points. So we'll see what happens. And, I think that was always kind of expected. And, that kind of was what happened in the first few games of the year. And then in some of the other big games, Trey Jones took on quite a load himself. So, I don't know. Duke is going to have to really have it going to get that win because, yes, it's at Cameron, but so was the Syracuse game. And I had seen Syracuse play a few times this year. And let me just say that was a very surprising win, even with only Barrett and Williamson making up a bulk of Duke's offense.
Yeah, in terms of Duke, usually they're not known as a good man-to-man defensive team, and losing Trey Jones will definitely hurt that since was their best defender and somebody that could really bother the point guard as they tried to get into their offense. But it's also, and this was something I was looking at actually before the Syracuse game, but this is by far the worst three-point shooting team that Duke has had, maybe ever, or at least in the 21st century. They're currently shooting just under 32%, so ranked 263, which usually they're, in the top 50, and any Duke team is usually taking a ton of threes. So the fact that they're such a poor shooting team is pretty surprising, but I guess when you have RJ Barrett shooting 32%, he's already taken over 100, and Zion shooting 27%. You have Cam Reddish, who, as always, I'm a big fan of. He's shooting 36, but really nobody else is doing a whole lot from the perimeter. But then again, RJ's getting the line, Zion's a freak around the basket, so they make up for it to have one of the top offenses. But it'll definitely be an interesting game, but without Trey, I think UVA will definitely frustrate both Zion and RJ on the defensive end with their pack line D. And I think the guards will have a little too much experience, but should be a good game, especially you mentioned the Big Ten being kind of weak. And, this has been something that has gone on for years in the ACC, that there's usually, some top teams. Really, Virginia Duke is championship talented teams. And then you have North Carolina and a few, actually really just North Carolina, kind of the rung below that. And then you have a lot of average and mediocre teams that you can just pick off easy wins. So it'll be a good ACC game, and looking forward to watching that. But speaking of some other top teams, I'm curious to get your thoughts on some of these other guys. So I'm going to throw out a few teams to you and see if you want to buy the team or sell them as the season progresses.
Okay.
So I will start with a top five team, Tennessee, with Rick Barnes.
They look great. They look really good. I feel as the season progresses, they may get a couple more losses. They still have a few road games that they've yet to play in the SEC. But, yeah, I think they're absolutely look like the best team in their conference. So I'm buying Tennessee. Grant Williams has just been great this year. Admiral Schofield also looking very good and like a potential first round NBA prospect potentially. And Yeah, they have a solid starting line. Not an incredibly deep team, but good defensive team. So, yeah, I'm buying Tennessee. I think they look good. What's your feeling?
I would agree. I'm not usually buying SEC teams, but I'm buying Tennessee. Yeah. I know they were good. You know, they were a good team last year. Ran into, you know, got definitely a bad draw with Loyola, Loyola Illinois, or Loyola mm-hmm. Chicago. Sorry, who had a very talented team themselves. So they really got knocked out in the first round, and everybody kind of forgot about them. But they have one loss, lost to Kansas in overtime. Probably should have won that game, and have been really just marching through the SEC. And each year I do kind of a conference wins pool, and Tennessee is one of my 10 teams, and probably one of the few teams 2 weeks in that I actually like. Most of them I wish I could get a redo on, but definitely buying Tennessee going forward. Mm-hmm. I'll stick in the
and that
top
Loyola Chicago the Loyola Chicago game was really, really close. Like, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Really tough draw.
Fantastic game. And then there's a little too much Dante Ingram at the end, but was a fun game. And, you know, once again, how talented Loyola Chicago was last year. But I guess on that note, a team that is not in the Power Five, but that is always one of the top basketball program. So we will go out west to Gonzaga, who currently sits at 16-2 and really should have a nice easy run through the West Coast Conference. But what are your thoughts on Gonzaga?
Come March, I think they're going to be a player too. And yeah, I really like, they kind of have this seven deep right now that it's really good. And even like Gino Crandall, Jeremy Jones are good guys off the bench to give him a few minutes. Jones in particular, like, is a guy who I really hadn't heard of before this year, and has been really solid in his role. It's like a nice little athlete. And then they got Killian Tilly back, and he's looked quite good as well. I really like Brandon Clark. I think I know that I've heard that they kind of compare him to Jordan Bell around Gonzaga, and I see a lot of the parallels there.
Well, I know it's been a while since our last podcast, but I do recall an extensive Brandon Clark discussion pretty
yes.
early on in the season.
Yes, and you were right, man. He looks good. Very nice athlete. And the lack of shooting, he makes up for it in so many other ways. Really good passer too. I love the way they played against Duke, and then the games recently against the West Coast Conference, he's been great as well. So yeah, they're a team that I might like even more than Tennessee potentially. So yeah, I think Gonzaga is going to have a really tough out come March.
Yeah, I think having really half the season against a lot of competitive teams without really their a top two player in Killian Tilly will just serve them well. I think in terms of the tournament, I really like them, and they're a fun team to watch, and looking forward to hopefully getting to see them in person in February. But I don't know if I'm buying them for a title contending team, but I'm definitely I'd rather buy them than sell them. They have a lot of pieces that are fun to watch, and you have Perkins, an experienced point guard. He's been shooting the ball well. Although anytime I think of him, I think back to last year when I saw him come play Loyola Marymount, and there was two Gonzaga fans sitting in front of me, and the lady was just remarking on how she's like, isn't it a bad thing when your point guard Josh Perkins can barely dribble the ball up the court? that always gives me a good laugh. But Zach Norvell, the shooter from Chicago, and
yeah,
I still love to. I haven't really read that too much about that recruitment, but just how Gonzaga got inner city Chicago kid from Simeon,
yeah,
Mac Irvin,
yeah,
out there.
crazy.
I don't know. Pretty interesting. But yeah, definitely a talented team and a fun one. Unfortunately, they probably won't have too much competition. Just looking at their schedule, maybe at BYU, but should be a top probably two seed entering the tournament. So I guess moving kind of to mix it up a little bit. Actually, one more team in the top 10, since I think you watched them today in a loss, actually. But one team I have not gotten a whole lot of viewings on is Texas Tech.
And I just watched them lose to Iowa State. They have one of the better players in college basketball in Jarrett Culver. They have some shooting. I would not necessarily buy them as a team that I feel goes deep into the tournament. They rely on one guy so much. Matt Mooney's been a bit inconsistent. And while he, you know, can do some good things on offense as well, I think they kind of live and die by the three a little bit too much for my liking. And then, I think sometimes they struggle to score without Culver kind of leading the way. So I'm not sure I buy them as a good tournament team, but they're going to be one of the better teams in the Big 12. And they're definitely every game I've seen from them, they play really tough. So, Chris Beard is going to be up for a huge NCAA job. Even potentially, I think he might be on the NBA radar as well. But, I'm not really sure about this team going deep into March.
Well, sounds like you're selling long-term, and I guess I will agree with you. They rank 114th offensively, and I'm one that is definitely a believer in better offense, or a good offense beats a good defense, more so in the tournament. So I'll sell them, but I am definitely want to watch them more in the Big 12, especially Culver, and kind of get a better look at them. I haven't really seen them since they played USC back in late November. I will go next team. Let's see here. How about, and I don't know how much you've seen of them, but the Maryland Terrapins.
I haven't seen a ton of Maryland yet. There are definitely a few prospects I kind of like on their team. I'm really intrigued by Jalen Smith.
Sticks,
who I know you've seen a bit of in his. You saw him in USA tryouts, right?
Yeah, I got to interview him. And
oh, good stuff.
He was, 6'8", I can't remember how much, but you could definitely see the talent. The talent was there. He didn't end up making the team, but has definitely improved tremendously. And I think now he's playing really well and forming one of the better front courts with him and Bruno, and they're off to a nice 6-1 start in the Big Ten. So, and this is even after they lost Kevin Herter a year early. So you can imagine if they had him returning. But definitely like the front court that the Terps have going.
So yeah, I don't know enough to buy and sell their team yet. But they have a couple big road games coming up with Ohio State and Michigan State, and we'll be watching those. And I will be able to further give my thoughts. But I'm impressed that, they've gone through the Big Ten and done so well so far. So it seems like, they have a little bit of depth. And, they have some intriguing guys on their team.
All right, and the last one, and I don't really know who to do, but I know you're fresh off watching both UCLA and USC play at Oregon. So are you buying anybody in the Pac-12? I know there are no teams currently ranked, but there's still three teams undefeated in conference with Arizona, Washington. So I wouldn't say either of those two are surprising, but then you have a 3-0 Oregon State team. What are your thoughts on your boys out west?
I'm sorry to do this, but I am selling the hell out of our conference this year. I saw Washington, and I've seen some of their games. They're not bad, but again, I think they kind of struggle with their offense outside of Dickerson and Jalen Noel, and not a lot of depth there. So I think the Pac-12 is just going to be kind of like dog eat dog, and it might be like a 1 or 2 bid league. Unless somebody does really well in conference. Oregon State just had a pretty impressive 2-0 over USC and UCLA. It seems like they have gathered the coach's sons and finally are making a little bit of noise in conference, which I think was always the plan. And it was always going to be like a few years of building there. They could be a team that makes a lot of noise in conference, but not a team I really expect to go far in like an NCAA tournament setting or I would sell them making it as an at-large. And Arizona is a team I just don't really love either. Randolph is really inconsistent. Brandon Williams hasn't really found a shot yet, and Chase Jeter is still doing Chase Jeter things. So, not a lot I love about this conference, particularly the Oregon Ducks, who pulled off one of the great blunders of late game history with their loss to UCLA. Being up 8 with 44 seconds left. We were up 17 with 5 minutes left. And that was one of the great late game collapses I have ever seen. So
what was it like being at that game and just watching that unfold?
It was surreal. A lot of very questionable decisions. One was Ihab Amin, who had played great defense up to that point and had 5 steals on the game. Oregon forced a lot of turnovers. And he fouled Jalen Hands on a 3. So that cut the game to 2, I believe. And then Oregon was up 3 with a little over 4 left. And they chose to foul Jalen Hands before he crossed half court. And there was 3.8 left. And he makes the first and misses the second. They put in the offensive rebounding line that eats Oregon up. And Moses Brown kind of gets a tip on the ball. And Chris Smith makes the layup and gets fouled. The score is 80-80 with a chance to win in regulation when it had, like, with 44 seconds left and you're up 8, like, that just is not something you ever think would happen. And he missed the free throw. Oregon makes the first 2 baskets in overtime, but then gives up a couple. Lewis King has a dunk where he pretty much was, like, had a clear path to the basket. Nobody really in his way. And he loses the ball while he's like above the rim, and then Jalen Hands makes a long 2 that was the game winner. And they even foul Moses Brown, and he makes 1 of 2 when he's a 37.5% free throw shooter on the year. Lewis King misses a corner 3, game over. And just, you really don't expect to see that, especially at home. Lewis King has really kind of come into his own and was playing, scored 22 points in that game. Peyton Pritchard, who I think the Ducks knew they were going to depend on quite a bit, just sort of refused to shoot in that game to the point where you wondered if something was wrong. And it, like, in overtime, if anything, Peyton usually is a guy that will over dribble and take, a lot of shots where you're like, eh, I'm not sure about that. But he's also probably the only guy on the team that can really get his own shot. So it was very surprising to see him pass up, going to the free throw line and, like, you know, just basically passing the ball like it was a hot potato rather than, you know, kind of carrying us on his back a little bit like he did last year and at points this year. So, yeah, it was just a few things I'd never seen in a game. Sorry for going on as long as I did, but yeah, that was my experience with the Oregon epic fall to UCLA.
Well, I know you were looking forward to ideally seeing Kevin Porter over the weekend, and he played against Oregon State and was suspended for the Oregon game. So I know that was a bummer, but as you mentioned, King played well, and yeah. You think, you know, he's 6'6", or what? Well, shit, he's listed at 6'9". But
I know he's listed at 6'9". He's probably
6'7".
I'll give him at most 6'8", but I think 6'7½", let's say. But you know, good size for a wing.
So I mean, if he keeps playing sports. Well, do you think he could make the one and done leap?
There's potential there because he's going to have, I think, kind of carte blanche in the Pac-12 play. He started off slow, which I think everybody expected coming off the MCL injury that he had suffered in high school, which he was at, I believe, at McDonald's, and he was at the Hoop Summit, but not playing. And then it slowly was worked back into Oregon. It started off pretty slow, but even his first game, he made like a couple three-pointers and a nice like offensive rebound put back. But the USC game, he had a couple drives that were very nice. Turnaround jump shot, a three off the dribble that I thought was beautiful. His shooting stroke is very nice. And then he was making some good decisions and being used more as a passer, as like a secondary ball handler, besides Peyton Pritchard, which the Ducks desperately need. And if he keeps it up, then I think there's a absolute possibility he could be a one and done. But again, very raw, like just in terms of creating his own offense and playing structured basketball. I've been impressed with him over the last few games, and he's been a different player since Pac-12 play has started. So, yeah, he's absolutely a guy to keep an eye on. He played his best half of basketball in the USC game. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and the points like came in situations that made you go like, wow, like, you know, great touch and ability to get his own shot potentially. So it's still, the jury's still kind of out, but I think he could play himself into the conversation. It would have been great to see him go up against Porter, though. That was absolutely a killer, because it was fantastic that Porter had come back against Oregon State. I know he was a little rusty, but I hear that there's a possibility he might be playing this weekend, Sean.
We'll see. I'm TBD on that one, but did get to see him.
Gotcha.
How many games has he actually played?
You saw him in a couple, right?
Yeah, I saw him. I mean, yeah, I saw him the very first game, Robert Morris, and then really the big one against Vanderbilt, Maybe. Where there's a lot of NBA guys, and he did really well offensively. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of kind of other issues, so it'll be interesting to see you know, how he's looked at, just given how talented he is, but only playing in 6 games so far. But I guess moving outside of the Pac-12, I'm kind of curious, really over the last week of just watching games, is there anybody or any team that has kind of stuck out to you, or anything that has been memorable besides the crazy defeat of Oregon UCLA?
Gosh, it's been a rough year. Pretty wide open. Like, of course, it always looks like the top few teams are the ones fighting there. I like Virginia Tech. I think they look like an interesting team. Oh, really?
Did you not see them get destroyed the other night?
I did, but that was Virginia. It wasn't surprising to me.
No, it wasn't surprising. I mean, I think they're good. Are they a top 10 team? Definitely not. But they've got a lot of upperclassmen that are good, and I think are, you know, a top 4 to 5 team in the ACC. But man, was that out of conference schedule horrendous? They could beat Purdue, but yeah, it was pretty bad overall. But definitely some talented players with Justin Robinson, and you have Alexander Walker and Ahmad Hill, who seems like he's been around for forever, and Kerry Blackshear.
Time,
so,
for sure.
I could see that. But
yeah,
if I had to buy or sell them, I'm selling the Hokies.
Gotcha. I can feel that too. But really, like, are there a lot of teams that you like this year? Like, is there anybody that really stands out to you outside of the top 10?
I'm just kind of, I mean, one team
yeah.
I like watching is Alabama. Alabama and LSU. And then actually, I'm going to go, got to shout out Marquette in there, and a former
Marquette guest, team I actually like as well.
Marcus Howard dropping another, this time of 53 points that he dropped last week.
What happened to him the other night?
He was out, I think his back, but he was 3 minutes into that touchdown game.
They still won. The Hauser
still
brothers.
Won. But yeah, he sandwiched that 53-point game in between some 226-point games, and he's shooting 44% from the 3-point line. He's taken already 160, and has a top assist rate in the Big East, and a ridiculous 35% usage rate.
Absolute hooper.
He's
a lot of fun to watch.
It's kind of fun, you know, looking at his sophomore year KenPom comparisons. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. It has Jack Gibbs, who great scorer at Davidson. Then it has Jordan Halls, the long-term or Indiana point guard. Then you have Jerome Randall, who actually was in that game in Australia that I saw, and he's still killing it out there and making a very hefty salary over in Sydney. And then you have Chason Randall, who's been on and off with the Wizards this year, and
big time.
Damian Lillard. that guy that you've seen a few times. But I guess last,
lucky enough,
since I know you do love the NBA draft, and not to go through everything with you, but who are you kind of watching in the next few weeks to, you know, see if they're moving up or down, or that you want to get a few more looks at? So who's kind of on your list going forward?
Jalen Smith, absolutely. Jackson Hayes from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to watch the footage of him from the Kansas game, but very intriguing guy. I want to see a little more of Nazir and Kobe in some of the big games that they have coming up too. Your North Carolina guys. Mm-hmm. And who else? I want to see Jalen McDaniels in some of like the big Mountain West matchups.
I was just looking at their schedule, hoping I would, but always forget about the Mountain West. There's no, besides San Diego State, no real Southern California, or besides San Jose State, California team. So not sure I'll be able to catch him in person, but I'm going to go with, I would have loved to have seen Bol Bol again if he had made it. But
want
to, as you mentioned, watch some Maryland, Texas Tech. We like to watch Jalen Horde. I got to see him last year at the City of Palms tournament, and he had a really good game and one of a few bright spots for, once again, a porous Wake Forest team. And then Naz Reid, I was definitely not a fan of him in high school, but he's been playing pretty well. And then I guess one more guy. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go way down the list, but Shamori Pons, just cause he's a baller and
yeah, he's really improved his shooting this year. So yeah, he's definitely a fun guy to watch just in general, but yeah, as far as his NBA draft stock and everything, I think he's really helped by, shooting the three at a high percentage.
Yeah.
So,
and then,
yeah, that's a good choice.
And I guess, obviously Zion, watch him, especially if he can shoot the ball at all. I know there've been a few games where he's made a few threes, but that flat footed set shot with no rotation, definitely needs some work. And, I think one guy that we've talked about, and I've been reading a lot about him, but have not been able to watch him much in live action, is Ja Morant, who has been skyrocketing from getting some love over the summer after having a strong freshman year, but is now anywhere from, you know, in the top five of the draft. So just given his athleticism, definitely hoping to catch a Murray State game at some point.
Yeah, leading assist man in the NCAA this year. And he's definitely been a really fun show. And he's absolutely, like, you know, looks like a lottery talent. And it seems like he's shooting to be a top five pick.
That wraps up another edition of the Sean Moe Hoops Pod, the first of 2019, but with many more to come throughout the following weeks and months. Thank you to Mikey V for coming on, chatting college basketball and NBA draft, and looking forward to having you on again. Thanks.